Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
All right. Oh my goodness. It is a Monday morning here in the Charm City, and I went to play. Here we go.
Seven. In the air, left field, pretty good. Wood going back at the wall, looking up, and goodbye, home run. Jonathan Schoop finally gets the timing down, and the Orioles are on the board as Schoop delivers. Two RBIs for the O's on his eighth home run of the season.
And sadly, that would be about it for the Baltimore Orioles yesterday as they lose to the Los Angeles of Anaheim Angels. What was it? 10-2, I guess, was the final.
Yeah. You know, our starting pitching guys are going to be on a brand new version of an old show called Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all we got right now.
Yeah. All right.
Greetings,
folks. It is Baltimore Sports Talk here. I'm Rob McQuay. That's Jeff Coles you're listening to. And in the wings here, which we'll bring in is Philly Jeff Dyer.
Giving us warning before he bring him in.
Yeah.
I am redubbing myself officially as Philly Knave, and Rob and I had a conversation yesterday about trying to bring advertisers in, and I've got two. The first one is, for all you people who think your life could not possibly be worse than it is, realize that within the space of a few days, there will be people ponying up their hard-earned to see four turtles. So coming out Friday, Ninja Turtles, and the pathetic, and from those folks who still believe in unicorns and a free lunch, credit karma.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so our two new sponsors.
There you go. I'm sure they're happy to hear.
Yeah.
I'm sure the lawsuits will be a rolling.
Nothing new here, right?
That's Philly Knave. You can find him at Cottman Avenue in
Philly
Center City,
Dave.
Philadelphia.
You'll have to explain. Jeff had the opportunity to see Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare, in which at some point something was called a scurvy knave. So we decided, I guess he decided he'd be Philly Knave. So there you are.
Okay.
And there I am.
There you have it.
The abridged Shakespeare, brought to you by our third sponsor, who will remain nameless, but their initials are AST.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, Philly Jeff, we also have, now I'm speaking of the Annapolis Shakespeare Company right now, folks. We also have a production at the Reynolds Tavern out in the courtyard at Reynolds Tavern in Annapolis. That is, it runs on Tuesday nights only, and it's outside in the courtyard, and it's the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged. And that's actually one that you might want to go down and see at some point. It runs until like the end of September, but it is a spoof, comic, contemporary take on all of the great Shakespeare plays, and it's silly and bawdy and just a lot of fun. So you know, maybe one Tuesday this summer, we'll have to go down and enjoy that one. And you can, you know, you order food. It's a restaurant, so you order food. It's sort of dinner theater, but you order food and eat, and then the show. So it's a lot of fun.
Does it have an epilogue? we'll be harping that for at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm not sure if this one has the epilogue or not.
The body and the unpredictable brings us back to the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
All the shameless self-promotion is.
Oh, it's good. Oh no, it was a delightful production. We enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So
that's very good. That's good.
Yeah. Good. 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 All right. Yes, the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I'm not sure what's particularly bawdy, but it is rather surprising, guys, that as we approach Memorial Day, the Orioles are still sitting in first place now, only by percentage points. We have to add that. Boston basically has the same win-loss ratio, put it that way. In other words, they're both 10 games over 500, but since the Orioles have one less loss, their percentage is just a little bit higher. The Orioles are at 619 winning percentage, the Boston Red Sox at 614. So that's it's a dead heat between the Orioles and the Red Sox, and hopefully we'll be able to see that happen all year long.
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering if they could take Ubaldo Jimenez and Brian Mattis and somehow splice them together. Could they make one whole pitcher?
Well, my answer to that is no, because Brian Mattis is terrible. At this stage of the game, I think Brian needs to go somewhere.
Yeah, Chicago Cubs. Maybe he'll become an All-Star.
No, the Boston Red Sox. Then we're due to damage.
Yeah.
Well, yes. If he can continue pitching like he does as an Oriole, send him to the Red Sox.
They said he was a left-handed specialist, but now he doesn't do a good job against left-handers or right-handers.
No. It's I don't know what the deal is with him, but it's not good. And I think it's probably soon that Buck stops going to him, and I just don't know what's going to happen with Brian Mattis, but he is not pitching well, and we'll see. We shall see. The Philadelphia Phillies find themselves 6 games over 500, and Jeff Dyer, what's the reason? What's going on there in Philadelphia?
Well, because we've played some teams that aren't named the Atlanta Braves.
Well, which
I mean,
in itself
come
is,
on.
Is yeah, that in itself is interesting because the Braves are the Braves are one of the worst teams and maybe the worst team in baseball. Let me take a look here. Their winning percentage is .279. The Atlanta
Have
Braves.
Have they even won 10 games yet?
They've won 12.
They're up 12.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They've won 12.
The Phillies.
Minnesota. Sorry, Minnesota is worse. Is worse.
Ooh.
Let's see. Minnesota has a .256 winning percentage. And Atlanta, .279. So they're both bad. But Atlanta being the second worst team in baseball, the Phillies have a hard time beating them, huh?
Well, we had a lovely game yesterday. Thank God I was able to catch some of it during intermission. Thank God for intermission. They had the package yesterday. They had good pitching all the way through. They had the bats finally scored more than 2 to 3 runs. That's been our issue is we're not – if we were scoring, I thought about it. If we had scored 4 runs, at least 4, every game that we played, we'd have only lost a handful. I mean, really, I mean, we lost 7-1, or I think that's what it was, Friday, but then it was 2-0 the next night. So, you know, 3-4 runs would have taken care of that. But, you know, we lost, we've been, you know, 4-5 runs, we probably would have run the table. Oh, well, almost.
Philly,
we might have lost, but, you know, yeah.
Philly Jeff, I just wanted to, you know, you're talking about having intermission, and I never did that when I was in school. Now, you know, I was I had the little transistor radio with the earplug, and I sat by the wall, so I could listen to the Orioles games, you know, they were being played in the day, and you know, everybody thought I was paying attention. Well,
right. Well, you know,
and that is why Mr. Coles was the valedictorian of his.
reform school.
Yes. That's right. yes.
Well, you know, in all fairness, the in this day and age, you could have a little Bluetooth in your ear and I guess be listening to the baseball game while you're in the theater watching a play.
That's right.
I'm not sure how
that,
you
actually.
Could.
I mean,
could have done.
That's why I have a smartphone. Because it goes right up into my head, so I could just kind of go, sword fight, back to the game.
You're like that. You're like that guy out in the commercial that's out on the date, and he's watching the basketball on his smartphone, and he's saying it was like, what am I, some sort of summoner? Do I just summon video to come to my phone?
All right, now I got a question for you guys. Did either of you watch the game? I guess it was probably Saturday night, the Orioles and Angels, where Wieters hits the 3-run homer, and then the bottom of the ninth, there are a couple of questionable strike calls, one of which gets I forget who the batter was for. The Angels, but gets him ejected. Either of you see that game or those plays? I mean, that would have been in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah. I actually am gainfully employed at the wee hours of the morning.
Right.
Which I hate to blow everyone's my image is that that this is my only job, but you know.
Right. All right. So you didn't see that. Philly Jeff, did you by any chance watch that, or were you
I'm normally somewhere between un and conscious by about 10:30 because it's just cause.
Right. right. I haven't had a chance to see them. I was watching that game and then listening to it, and then I guess about the seventh inning, before Wieters hit that home run, I just turned it off. I was tired, and I thought, well, I guess this is, you know, they're pretty locked up. But here's the recap on the website. Anyway, I guess the my question here is the umpiring in baseball just bad, or what do we make of these? Some of these calls, and then of course, you know, the whole check swing, half swing thing is coming up again, and they want replay. We talked a little bit about this last week, but
there's more than that. Now they want to move the strike zone up to the top of the knees.
Oh yes, that's right. They were talking about that too,
and that maybe that'll help some of these nearsighted umpires get a closer look at the.
I tend to doubt that, but I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
If you tighten up the strike zone in the rule book, I just feel like that's going to tighten up the strike zone that the umpires are actually calling, and now we're back to a postage stamp strike zone, of which pitchers have to throw it, and hitters are going to continue to hit home runs, and we're going to have, you know, 10-9 games, and I guess that's what Major League Baseball wants. But as a baseball fan, I really don't want to see that. I like
right.
to see the pitching duels.
Right. You miss those.
You know, and the low scoring game. And, you know, you're going to have these, well, 2.5 hour games or 3 hour games, really, what they are now.
Yeah.
Stretch into 4 hour games. Yeah. Thoughts? Anyone?
Well, for me, I think that the tighter strike zone is just going to make baseball. It's going to make the home run and the doubles and the high scoring games less interesting because that's the way it's going to be all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at some point there's a point. I guess there's a point of diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want baseball to get to that point where it just gets to be a dull run fest for both sides?
Right. But you know they're going the way of like the NFL where it's offensive oriented, bit higher scores. They feel like I guess. What they're trying to do is get the casual fan to start watching more and all of that. But for those that are real,
at the expense of the real fan.
Yes, exactly. That's I agree. Couldn't agree more. I don't know, Philly Jeff. You got any thoughts on this?
Well, look, if they're willing to do that, then I'm willing to counter-propose that all these guys get issued wiffle ball bats, and then let's see how it goes from there. You want to ruin my sport? Ruin it, ruin it. Just destroy it entirely. Why can't they just leave it alone? It worked just fine in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s,
sure.
And now they want to monkey with it. It's like, don't do that. You know, it's,
well,
it's,
if you're
it's any – yeah, so.
If you're going to do that, you're going to want to build somebody's garage in left field, you know, so if the ball hits the roof, it's a home run and, you know, put a tree out in right field.
Right. Well, you know,
well,
for that matter, why not just let them play slow pitch softball?
Yeah.
You know,
well, or do the playground stuff, you know, four fouls and you're out. I mean, you know, there were ways to move things along that, you know, that were, again, it's playground stuff. It's not,
it's not
intended to go into the, on the other hand, some of these pitch counts, these guys go up there and they're watching stuff. I remember, was it? Willie Montanez back in the, I want to say the 70s for the Phillies. He had, if I recall correctly, about a 25, 26 pitch at bat. He just kept fouling them off. He had like 19 fouls. You know, it's like maybe the four foul rule is not a bad, you know, if nothing else, it moves some things along. I'm watching the other night. Some guy runs up, 12, 13 pitches. And so our guy is, he's at like the better part of 90 pitches by about the fourth inning. Because the hitters are like, I might hit this. If I foul it off two dozen times, that'd be okay. It's like move along.
Right.
But no, don't mess with baseball. I'm sorry. I'm a purist. Whatever was written down back in the day, and that's fine. You know, don't need to modify anything. And by the way, who started calling the thing the fair pole? I heard that last night. One of the guys in Philadelphia. He hit it just inside the fair pole. It's not the fair pole, sir. It's called the foul pole, and there's a reason for that. If it goes to the right of it, it's a foul. If it's anything else, of course it's fair.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean.
Don't ruin my game.
They've talked about that with the foul line as well. But in some sense, I might agree with that because it's odd to call something that when you hit it, if you hit the pole, or if you hit the line, it's a fair ball. So why do we call it the foul line or the foul pole? But that's what it's been called. It just seems like it was called the wrong thing to begin with. But
I thought it was named glass them. Half empty, glass half full thing. You know, somebody wanted to
do what they do in Boston. Name them the pesky pole.
Yeah, that's right.
The pesky pole. You know,
that's
fine. I'd be happy to have one called the Philly Jeff poll. You know, that'd be all right.
Yeah.
He nailed the Philly Jeff poll. Amen, brother.
That's good. All right, what else is going on? We have no Triple Crown winner this year.
Oh, I want to talk about that a little bit. Exaggerator made just really, I think, one of the better runs I've ever seen in a Preakness. And when you think that the Preakness is a sprint, and he started he was like seventh going down the back stretch, and kind of worked his way in slowly, which is not usual. Usually the front four or five horses, somebody in that group wins because of the shortness of the race. And he made did you see the little move that Exaggerator made when he was on the rail, coming off the rail? He swung wide. He went around the front two horses and then pulled right into the rail and got right in front of them. And he had it right down the stretch and took the race. But those two things, coming back from being seventh in the pack and then making that little move at the end, that took a lot of skill on the part of the jockey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the thing is, did you listen to the commentators? Did they like forget? Oh, yeah, Nyquist dominated the Kentucky Derby. No, he didn't. That one horse was charging. If that had been another, what's fair, 16th quarter mile, he would have taken him, you know? And that's the thing, is that this was a shorter race. You'd think that would go to Nyquist's favor, but the fact of the matter was, I was sitting here with my wife. I said, you better watch Exaggerator. This horse has, you know, he's kept getting closer and closer in the each race. He got closer to Nyquist, and then it was just, such a pleasure. I mean, I hate to lose the Triple Crown, but did you hear the comment? The guy said, if Nyquist wins the Preakness, the Belmont is the Super Bowl. Said if he doesn't, it's the Pro Bowl. Man, I love that. Good for
you,
the one good comment all afternoon.
I like that.
Yeah, baby.
That is funny. Well, you know, the word on the street anyway was that Nyquist, you know, is not a mutter. So, given the weather in Baltimore Saturday, I'm not sure that anyone. I don't know how did the odds go? Did the odds change because of the weather? I don't even know.
I don't know. No, the two horses stayed. Nyquist was 3-5. Exaggerator was 5-2, and it held all afternoon.
Huh, that's interesting.
And you know, that makes the move that Exaggerator did in that last part of the race even more amazing, was that he did it in the mud.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, you know, we'll see what we got 2 weeks to the Belmont. And I'm guessing that.
3 weeks.
Is it 3 weeks? I thought it was two weeks
it's
between
two, two
each
and three.
One. Oh, okay.
No, it's two and then three. Why?
Gotcha.
Who knows?
Yeah.
More chance to hype it.
Right.
Well, how are they going to hype it now? Well, we're just racing a race. And they asked the guy, Nyquist, trainer, you guys going to be at the Belmont? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what would be the point?
Thing,
what's
you know,
the point of it?
Yeah. And that's the other thing, you know, in recent times, it's not always a given that the winner of the Preakness or the Kentucky Derby is going to go into the Belmont, and sometimes they skip it or they talk about skipping it.
Right. What about what about Exaggerator? Have we heard? Is he going to make the trip to New York?
It was that same thing.
Know.
It's like, well, maybe might be there. Well, it thought, you know, for a couple of $1 million, hell, I'm running my horse. You better believe I am.
Well, sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, even if you're not a Triple Crown winner, I mean, there's serious money on these races. So
not only that, you win 2 out of 3, and you've got a stud.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. I've got
I got to jump off, so I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. And wish you guys both, you know, all the best, and we'll see you.
All right, Jeff. Very good. And we'll talk to you next week. That's cool. All right. I've got this. Hang on, Jeff.
And Uncle Lino's grabbed that lead. Nyquist battling on the outside. Oh, it's been a brutal battle. A quarter to go at Pimlico. Exaggerator switches to the outside and is coming after Nyquist, who turns for home with the lead. But Exaggerator sweeps up on the outside. And so Exaggerator looking to turn the tables on Nyquist, who's down to the rail in the final furlong of the Preakness. Stradivari's moved to the third. Nyquist laboring. There is Exaggerator. Exaggerator and Kent DeZorber with the 16th pull from Nyquist. Exaggerator in the Preakness turns the tables on Nyquist, who's trying to hang on a second. Maybe Cherry Wine.
Man.
Yeah, and he had, I mean, he was a few lengths. I mean, there was no trouble with him finishing that race. You know, there was no photo finish or anything like that. He had him by a couple of lengths.
The thing was, people didn't even talk about the horse that finished second, man, Cherry Wine. I mean, you know, hey, there was a horse in there.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But, you know, it was interesting because they spent more time talking to the Nyquist people than the Exaggerator. I'm like, dude, he finished third.
Right.
I wish he finished like eighth. You know, then you could have really said, you know, and that other horse was in there for a good while. Uncle Lino. I'm like, But you know, this year was the first year until I turned on the TV and happened to be on whatever, NBC or whatever. I didn't even remember the Kentucky Derby was on. You know, years past, it was always like, oh, yeah, this Saturday, man, this is great. We'll be there at 6 o'clock or, you know, whatever. But, you know, so, yeah, good. But maybe, you know, I think this might be, unless things change radically, this could be your Orioles and Red Sox all the way down to that last furlong.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. I'm hoping the Orioles don't fade, but we'll see. We'll see. Now, couple minutes left. Hockey. Have you been following? Have you been following the hockey?
Kind of third person. You know, I mean, it's like I'll watch the results.
Once,
I'm not.
Once
you know,
the Flyers are out.
Flyers
you're
are
not,
out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Capitals fans. I doubt they're really watching that much anymore. And you know, all of a sudden the Penguins are on the edge of things and. You know, so of all of it, I just soon see whoever comes out of the West. You know, whether it's the Blues, whoever they're playing, the Sharks.
But what about San Jose and
yeah,
was it San St. Jose Louis. And St. Louis knotted up 2-2.
Yeah.
So
whoever comes out of the West, I'm just anti everybody in the. You know, the eastern side. I mean, you know, we don't even have a good name for our division, the Metropolitan. You know, what happened when they were named for, you know, the guys involved? It was the, you know, the Patrick Division. That was cool. It honored, the, you know, the people that built this stuff, and now it's just like, you know, the Metropolitan. It's like, who cares? But anyway, you know, there it is.
So Tom Brady is going to appeal for a second hearing on this four-game late game suspension. So here,
go away,
here
Tom.
We go.
Go away. I'm so tired of Tom Brady. I hate that organization. I just want him to go away. I want he and the coach to go find an island somewhere, and I never have to hear their names again. And they can take Jerry Jones with them. Those three, please.
Well,
just go. I'm begging you. Yeah. I'll pay $15,000 to. There's another $15,000 in the old history book.
Right. Well, unfortunately,
go away.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're not going to get rid of either Belichick or Brady, and those guys are most likely, you know, going to be in the Hall of Fame.
No.
So.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's all right. I don't mind. they just, you know, I mean, Belichick, after he left, what was it, Cleveland, he's a pretty good coach. So, I mean, I got no problem with that. And then I was still having to visit the Hall of Fame, and he'll be gone, and that will be the end of it. You know,
right.
The same. Just astonishing to me that this team continues to find ways to cheat and get away with it. This is, they've got to, you know, put the door down on this one and say, no, you don't get to cheat anymore.
All right. We're out of time. Philly Jeff, thanks for being here. And
absolutely.
We'll see how the Phillies progress over the next week and the Orioles as well. And we didn't even talk about the Ravens being investigated for wearing pads in rookie camp, but we'll see what happens with that. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, let's look for some nice weather here, and let's go get some food and watch a little abridged Shakespeare.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right.
Well, and bring your boy along, man. It was good to see him.
Yeah, that's right. All right, very good. Hey, have a good week, Jeff. We'll talk again next week. All right.
Sounds good. Thanks. Take care.
Yep. This is this edition of Baltimore Sports Talk for Jeff Coles and Philly Jeff Dyer. I'm Rob McQuay. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte.
Megabyte.
The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.